Advent, we wait and watch for God. For God is coming, and God has something to say. Sir Henry Nguyen thinks the passage we just heard is one of the most beautiful stories in the whole Bible. You see, something wonderful is happening to Mary and Elizabeth. Mary is too young and too unmarried to be having a baby, but God has made it happen. And Elizabeth is too old to be having a baby, but God has made it happen. So it's wonderful, but it's also very strange. This is not the sort of thing that normally happens. Mary and Elizabeth are both waiting for their babies to arrive, but they are also trying to believe what is happening is actually for real. This is really God's doing. When Mary arrives, Elizabeth feels the baby leap in her womb. It helped Elizabeth knew that something strange and wonderful was also something very real and believable. She felt the truth in her tummy, and then her head started to catch up. When Mary arrives, Elizabeth feels her baby leap. Elizabeth bursts out with, "Why am I so lucky that the mother of the Lord should come to me?" Then she says, "Blessed is the one who believes God will keep his promises to her." And then Mary breaks out into song, celebrating what is happening in her life is real. She begins to see small, young Mary is in the very center of God's amazing plan to save the world. And it is Elizabeth who will help her see it. I bet she had some doubts as she was travelling on her own to visit Elizabeth. I bet she wondered if she'd made up the dream with the angel in her head. But she can't escape it now. She can't explain it all away. It is a truth that isn't just in her now, but Elizabeth has seen it and felt it as well. She is caught up in something bigger, that God is coming. In a way, this is what we are all called to be for each other in the church. We get to offer space to someone as we wait for God's life to grow in each of us, and we get to celebrate it when we see it. At times we might have our doubts, or questions that scare us. I wonder if you've ever found it hard to believe in what God says, or even God at all. But we aren't alone. Henry Nguyen writes that the church is where we keep the flame alive among us and take it seriously so that it can grow and become stronger in us. In this community, we keep courage alive when the world tells us to be afraid. In this community, we keep compassion and generosity alive when the world tells us to be selfish and to look after ourselves at the expense of others. In this community, we are able to keep forgiveness alive when the world tells us getting even is better. We do all this together in the words we pray, the songs we sing, the stories God tells us, and the friendships we share. Think about it like this. If you look at your body, can you see it all? Take a look at your body now. If I'm looking at my front, I can't see my back. If I try to look at my back, I can't see most of it anywhere. And then I can't see my front at all. I can't even see my own face. That's true with my body, and I think that it's true with our lives on the inside. Maybe there are things about us we need others to help to see, us to see. Things we might not believe in on our own, but other people can see and help us to take it seriously. God's life is growing in you. You just might need a little help to see it. And now I'm going to invite you to either hold the hand of someone next to you or hold your own hands together, whichever is you feel most comfortable with, and we will, Jemima will lead us, and we will respond to God with this prayer.
God has spoken to our heads and our hearts. Now let us respond in prayer with our hands. God of community, we remember Mary and Elizabeth and the way they helped each other believe. We remember that you are a family of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit who do life together. We are surrounded by you, and we are together. May our togetherness look like the way you are together. May we be gentle and encouraging. May we be excited as we see the sparks of your Spirit in each other. We are surrounded by you. Help us to affirm the wonder of our sisters and brothers, because God's life is growing in us all. Help us to receive kind and true words from others, remembering that we can't see everything and we need some help. We are not alone on this journey. We are surrounded by you. And when we leave this place, may we look all the more keenly for the signs of your life in those we meet, for you are not bound by the walls of our church. Wherever we meet you, God, help us to celebrate. For you love to surprise us, God, and we are learning to love being surprised. We are surrounded by you. Amen.
Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." I was interested, so I suppose it was now just over a week or so ago that Stephen Hawking and a team that he leads had this idea that an asteroid that had come near to Earth may well be an alien spaceship. So this asteroid, Oumuamua, was a strange shape for an asteroid. They're normally roundish, but this one was quite long. A little bit reminiscent in some ways of a rocket that we might send into space. And so they thought, for a variety of reasons, that this may not just be an asteroid. In fact, it may well be an alien spaceship. And so, another team, Professor Avi Loeb and others, decided what they would do is that they would put the most sensitive telescope onto this and trace it for 10 hours and hear if there were any radio signals coming from it. And so at Green Bank, the most sensitive radio telescope on Earth, they aimed it at this asteroid and they listened. And they heard nothing. Nothing at all. Which isn't surprising in some ways, because if these aliens were of any caliber, they would have cloaking devices so that we wouldn't be able to pick up their radio signals anyway. But Professor Loeb thought that if we were in some way to be able to find some trace of alien life, that this would answer one of science's most profound questions. And that question is, are we alone? Are we alone? And so they were looking at this asteroid and hoping that maybe a bit of space junk would be jettisoned or some sign would come from it that there was actually some form of life there, because in the human heart there is this deep, deep longing to have the sense that we are not alone. And if you have already written off the possibility of God, then you've got to look somewhere else for an answer to this question, are we alone? And so they looked and they looked, but there was no signal back from it. Now, on a totally different scale, I was a little disturbed around the same time to hear a report that of elderly frail people, 20% feel acutely alone. And when I looked into this a little further, I found that there was a report by the Ministry of Social Development that said actually the biggest group that feel alone are those aged 15 to 24. 16% of them feel alone. And so there's this sense on this cosmic scale, are we alone in the universe? And there's also a sense on this personal level, am I alone? This is something that we feel as humans. They are big, big questions for us. And the Christmas story gives answers to these questions. On this larger scale, are we alone? On this more intimate scale, are we alone? And as we look at the Christmas story, it gives us a very sensible and reasonable way of looking at these questions and finding some understanding. And so I want to hold up some pieces of that puzzle for you today. And maybe as you're thinking about them, they will fall into place and help you see the bigger picture. And maybe, because we can't talk about everything, maybe you have some ideas about this as well. So in the Nativity story, an angel appeared to Joseph and said to him, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so in a very real sense, this angel was saying to Joseph, look back at the scriptures, look back to what the prophet Isaiah said, and you will find in there an answer for what is happening in your life at this time. And not just for you, but for your nation and for your people. Because this child is Emmanuel, God who is with you. God who is with us. And Jesus came and lived among us. God dwelling with humanity, becoming one of us. And so we are not alone, because God exists. And we are doubly not alone, because he came as one of us and walked among us. living a fully human life. God has always existed, and so we have never truly been alone. Before humanity was created, God was. Before humanity could experience anything at all, God existed. God existed, God created, and as part of his creation, he brought humanity into being. So in a very real sense, we have never, ever been alone. We have never existed independently. For all along, right from the beginning, God was with us. It's really interesting. If you go back to the story in Genesis chapter 1, and you find the creation story unfolding. In verse 18, God says, it's not good for the man to be alone. Right at the very beginning of creation, God knew and was speaking to us, to our capacity for loneliness. Because if we are built with a capacity for friendship and to socially interact with people, we also have an ability, when that is missing, to then feel alone. And so God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a suitable helper for him. And this is really helpful for us to begin to grasp and to think about, that God knew that how he had created us, we would have this sense of wonder of something else being out there, of the need for something beyond ourselves, for other people, and on a larger sense, a need for God. So, God created them, male and female, and not only that, God himself walked with Adam and Eve in the garden so that they would not be alone, so that they could enjoy his company and his friendship. Now, as we all know in the Bible story, Adam and Eve sin, the world gets into this mess. It's a mess which all of us live with. And God then once again walked with humanity, this time becoming one of us in the person of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, who is God with us. So yet again, God breaks in to human existence, having walked with us in the garden, and things, that relationship having been broken, then again he comes and he walks among us to teach and to direct us. God who is with us. God who in Christ soiled his nappy, crawled on the floor, went through teething, learned to walk, learned to talk. God who became hungry and cried and was cold and thirsty. God who knew what it was to run outside and climb trees or skin his knees or play hide and seek with the other children. Real God in real humanity. Emmanuel, God with us, so that we might know we are not alone. We really are not alone. And then, when Jesus sent his disciples on their mission, he said to them, "And surely I am with you always." And so Christ, while returning to heaven, was assuring the disciples that he would be with them. And he sent to them the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came at the time of Pentecost with the sound of wind and the tongues of fire, and came to be with the disciples, to fill them, to live within them, to walk with them throughout their lives again, so that they would not feel alone or abandoned. So I think we can safely say we are not alone, and we never have been. And when you take a step back and you look at this big picture, you see God the Father with Adam and Eve, keeping them company in the garden, again coming into our history through Jesus Christ, walking with us, and again coming into our history through the Holy Spirit to indwell us. Emmanuel, God with us. But there are two human problems here. One of them is we are not God's equal, and the other is people in our community still feel lonely. If humanity is listening for radio signals from an asteroid while neglecting what God has come among us and said, if they've got big ears open to the cosmos and a small blocked ear to the scriptures, then something is really, really wrong in our world. You see, in one sense, it would be quite nice if we got some radio signals from aliens and we knew, in a sense, we weren't alone in this vast universe. And I think we could cope with that because from a scientific point of view, I think what people would say about that would be that in one sense, we climbed out of the primordial ooze and evolved, and they climbed out, these aliens, of the primordial ooze and evolved, and so we're sort of on a level. They might be more technologically advanced than us, or we may be more technologically advanced than them, but really at a basic level, we would be equals, and that would be fine. The big problem is that we are not equal with God. God didn't climb out of the primordial ooze. God was. God always existed. And so the problem that this brings, and why people, I think, are more interested in looking at a celestial object rather than thinking about the Bethlehem star, is because if God exists, then there is accountability to that greater being, to one who is not like us at all, but one who has made us. I think we could cope with this idea of having some aliens, as long as they were reasonably friendly. But this idea of God is difficult because God is outside the created, and therefore we are obliged to God who created us. God has made some standards, some rules, and we are accountable to Him. The wonderful story of Christmas, though, is that God is for us and not against us. God is reaching out in so many ways. He has created us with the capacity to know Him and to enjoy His company. He has come among us as one of us to redeem us so that our relationship with Him can be restored and again we can enjoy Him. And He has sent His Spirit among us. God is for us and not against us. But there's also this other problem, the smaller scale problem, which is also very important. People in our world, many people, do feel lonely because of the brokenness of our world. People can be feeling lonely. Today, well, one of the loneliest places, I think, in this city would be Mount Eden Correctional Facility. And people are there in prison. And they are not going to really be able to have a nice time with their family because that is where they are. And I think that's going to be really a lonely time for them. And at this very moment, people from our church are there meeting with them and taking them a service, and showing them compassion, and trying to bring something of the light of Christmas to those that they meet with. Not only people from our church, but people from many churches are there today. We're trying to do something in different ways about this problem of loneliness. I've heard it said, and I suppose many of you have heard this, if not said it yourself, it's not good for people to be alone, especially at Christmas. So why would the city mission be putting on a big meal that hundreds of people will come to and be able to be with other people and enjoy company? Why is it that some of you will have invited people into your house, maybe visitors to the city who you don't particularly know that well, but you think, you know, Christmas is a time when people really shouldn't be alone. And so we will invite them around. And I wonder about this. Why do we feel this way, especially at Christmas? And as I was thinking about it, it occurred to me that that is the day when Emmanuel came among us so that we would know that God is with us and we were not alone. And perhaps for that reason, we feel the sense, especially on Christmas Day, that people should not be alone. So what difference does this make to us? Well, in part, we can take comfort. We're not alone. Even when no other human being may be near to you, even when no other human being may understand you, even when no other human being may respond to your call, God is there with you. God who created you loves you. And then on this other issue of loneliness in our society, I wonder if there's something that we could be thinking about next year, not just on Christmas Day, but in some way regularly through the year, where we could, as a church, perhaps even in small part, alleviate loneliness for some people. And perhaps God will take this germ of a seed into your heart today, and it may grow in some sort of way that next year you come back to us with an idea. Here is something that we can do so that people will not feel alone. We who find comfort and strength in the presence of God in our lives, in the knowledge that we are not alone, can share this relationship with others so that they need not be alone at Christmas or on any other day of the year. Let's pray. O Lord, we acknowledge your goodness and your love. And we are so grateful for every good, every precious gift that you bring to our lives. Particularly today, Lord, we remember that we are not alone. You are with us. You are God who does not sleep nor slumber. But your eyes are always on us. By your Spirit, you dwell in our hearts and lives. We are so grateful for this gift. And we are mindful, Lord, of others who feel alone. We pray that you would be with our team in the prison this morning. Help them, Lord, to convey something of who you are to the people that they are meeting with, so that those in prison would not feel alone, but even when they are in their cell and by themselves, that they would know that you are God who is near to them. And Lord, we pray for those families who we mentioned earlier who have lost loved ones at this time and who will feel this so much more acutely because of the time of year. Well, we pray that you would put your arms of love underneath them and that you would carry them, that they would feel your strength. And although their hearts may be broken and all within them seems at a loss and weak, that you would be all sufficiency for them. Lord, we look at the world around us, and we see what things are like when people forget who you are. And so there is famine and there is war. There are people who take advantage of others. There are some who are in violent relationships. And homes and places where Christmas will be anything but peaceful. Oh Lord, we pray for these. Lord, again, break into our world. Bring peace where peace is lacking. Bring joy where misery is thriving. Bring kindness where there's only times of hurt. Change minds, O Lord. Change hearts. Speak again, Lord. Send the voices of angels and signs and wonders that people may again be awakened to who you are. These things we pray in your precious name. Amen. And we bring our service to a close.